This evening's reading is taken from Hebrews 1, 1 to 4. The 2020 vision for 20,000 begins with the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God who has come into our world to make it new. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior as angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Decade.
Happy New Decade.
We don't get to say that next year, so yeah. Enjoy that while you can there. Yeah. Well, indeed, a blessed new year, new decade, new day to all of us who are here tonight. The year is 2020. One of our members, Don Reinke, during the Christmas holiday season, one of those services, caught me afterward and said, "Pastor, y'all ought to think about doing something around this theme of 2020 vision in the new year." I said, "Wow, great minds must think alike," because Pastor Bobby and I have been talking about just that, kicking off the new year with a new sermon series focusing up on 2020 vision. It will be 8 sermons focusing upon God's vision for his church given to us through Jesus. We will be delving into how this vision leads us as a church and as individuals into 2020 and beyond. But the first question to ask is, what is vision? I've compiled a few bullet points from various leaders, church and otherwise, that kind of help us understand what vision is all about. Number one, vision always entails change. Number two, vision is God-given and not human-created. Number three, vision makes room for God's will. Number four, vision includes risk and invites criticism. The next one, vision means not living merely for self. And vision promotes faith rather than, there should be something more on there, rather than fear is what should be included on there. So all those are important points that tell us about vision. You know, Matthew concluded his gospel with this overarching vision for his church, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And then he ends that with a promise that he would be with us always to the end of the age. You know, this vision, while it's not new, it continues to be the primary vision of Christ's church in the world today. And it covers all those bullet points listed above. It's God-given. It follows God's will. It glorifies God. It involves change. It takes risk. It encourages us to live for others. And it promotes faith. This vision involves growing Christ's church, reaching out beyond our own four walls where our comfort zone is, to those who have yet to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or for those who may have heard and may yet continue to be somewhat skeptical. No longer is the mission field overseas. It's right here in our own backyards. It's among the people that we associate with, or those who come across our path on a daily basis. One of the problems I believe that we face in carrying out God's vision and mission to the world is that we lead busy lives, and so many other things vie for our attention. It's hard to keep focused on that vision. One of the speakers at the Global Leadership Summit several years back gave a talk on how vision leaks. Not like a bucket with holes in it. Yep. He said it that way, and I think I like that image because we can fill that bucket up as much as we want, but it continues to leak out. And it's a great vision, but because it leaks out, because it has the holes in it, we've got to constantly refill that bucket again and again and again. We have to continually be in God's Word again and again and again. We have to continually be in God's in prayer to God again and again and again. We continue to worship again and again and again because the bucket leaks. Our vision leaks. We need to keep filling it up, getting retooled, re-energized, refilled, renewing our commitment to God. The story was told about 350 years ago that a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. The first year they established a town site. The next year they elected a town government. The third year the town government planned to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. And the fourth year the people tried to impeach the local town government because they thought that it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles out into the wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway? Think about that. Here were people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcome great hardships to get there. But in just a few years, they were not able to see even 5 miles out of town. They had lost their pioneering vision. Their vision had leaked, and they didn't refill it. God gives us a clear vision, but we lose sight of that vision at times, either by complacency or lack of interest, or maybe because we live in an increasingly hostile environment in which to live our lives of faith. We're afraid to say anything because we might seem to offend someone or to be offensive to someone. But if we're going to have 2020 vision in the year 2020, we need to take the blinders off. We need to be serious about what God has called us to do. We turn to the word from Hebrews chapter 1. The writer there opens up for us new possibilities by tying us to our past and launching us into the future. In fact, if anyone here like me is a big Star Wars fan, you could kind of imagine the opening screen with the text crawling upward. Go ahead. Episode 2, the New Testament. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our ancestors by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. That was my version of the Hollywood version, but you get the picture there. Well, God's plan before the world began was indeed to send his only Son, Jesus, to save the world. Episode 1, the Old Testament, is filled with prophecies that point us to Jesus as the one promised of old. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to count all the prophecies that point toward Jesus. Sometimes it's easy to miss those as you're reading in the Old Testament. And different Bible scholars, there's no one answer out there. Different Bible scholars have numbered those from 60 to 70, or others even to 300 to 400 different prophecies. But most do agree that at one point in history, prophecy ceased. But even though prophecy ceased, those prophecies that were already there continued to speak to God's people everywhere, just as they continue to speak to us today. And they point us to Jesus, that Word made flesh, who came to dwell among us, full of grace and full of truth. This is what the writer of Hebrews is trying to get across to us in that opening statement there in his letter, that everything points to Jesus. I love the language he uses there, that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And the writer continues by pointing out to us what Jesus came to do, to make purification for our sins. That's why every year at Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of Christ, We cannot do so without looking ahead to Good Friday and Easter. Because it's easy to get lost in the whole scene of the manger, right? When the world in which we live is full of danger. Jesus was born to die so that we might live and have forgiveness and new life and salvation through him. We need to hear that story again and again and again because we forget, because we take it for granted at times. And that's our job as a church, is it not? To hear the old story again and again and again so that we may share it with a world that has lost sight of that vision or has even yet to hear it. We live in a world where fears and struggles in everyday life crowd out that planting of the seed of God's word in people's lives. It's like the parable that Jesus told, the seeds in the sower, where the seed was cast on the rocky path and got eaten by birds, or where it grew up among the weeds and the thorns and was choked out. No, Jesus calls us to keep tilling the soil of faith so that it is ripe for planting that seed. How do we do that? People of God, it's not hard. But it does take intentionality on our part. It does take some sacrifice. But God gives us some tremendous tools to keep tilling that soil and turning it up and planting those seeds. The tools of worship and Bible study and prayer and serving and connecting with others and fellowship and giving. We encourage you in this new year, this year of vision, to get involved. Get involved in a Bible study or a small group where you can connect with others and grow in your faith together. Or commit to a plan to read the Bible in this new year, to read on a daily basis. And don't just do it alone. Maybe you can partner with someone, your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, even your coworkers. Read God's word together. Commit yourselves to pray daily. Make a list of folks, parents, friends, family, whoever, that you can pray for. Or better yet, pray with someone who's in need of prayer. Don't be afraid to offer when that person that you work with or that you associate with tells you the struggles they're going through. Simply ask, "Can I pray for you?" And then do it. People of faith, our 2020 vision begins by each of us taking greater responsibility with our faith, by continuing to fill up our buckets and our vision of sharing that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and taking that bucket out in the world. And so even if it does leak out there, at least it's leaking out, hopefully, some spiritual nourishment on others so that it's not wasted. And if we as Christ Church don't share that 2020 vision about Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, then who's going to do it? It's a question to think about, to pray about, to consider. May the Lord be with you. Amen.